You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Laura Satsui. Air quality was in the headlines this week as the Trump administration said it plans to revoke California's ability to set its own tailpipe emission standards. Such a move would certainly have a local impact. Meanwhile, the Valley Air District made a few decisions that could also be significant for local air quality. Here to talk more about this is FM 89's Carrie Klein. So yesterday in particular was a big day for local air quality. What happened?
Yesterday, our air district, the San Joaquin Valley Air Pollution Control District, approved two mammoth plans aimed at improving air quality specifically in South Central Fresno and Shafter. Now, these plans were mandated as part of AB 617, a state law that set out to increase community control over air quality. And South Central Fresno and Shafter were chosen as some of the first 10 pilot communities to get this kind of attention across California. And starting last fall, each community formed a steering committee made up of residents, business owners, and government officials. And they have met multiple times per month ever since to determine their own priorities in terms of improving air quality and improving air quality monitoring. And so Fresno and Shafter's plans voted on yesterday were prepared by the Air District and with considerable input from community-based steering committees. And they both were voted in unanimously by the Air District's governing board. Here's Samir Sheikh. He's the director of the Valley Air District.
Not everybody that was in the process got everything that they wanted, but I think everybody in the process got something that they wanted. And I think that was really evident, again, in the programs that came before our board. And that's why you saw the unanimous support from our board.
So what is in these plans?
There's a lot. One plan was 1,000 pages. Another was 1,200 pages,
wow,
plus a whole bunch of subsequent updates. So it's not super easy to summarize. But, you know, a couple highlights include that they both bring in a lot of, they're full of community projects, essentially. A lot of them are in the form of incentives. So they incentivize things like replacing the parts of trucks and trains that pollute the most, or replacing some of the more polluting agriculture equipment that's out there, and also upgrading old buses to electric or hybrids. The plans also include more outreach related to alternatives to open agricultural burning, working with cities to study the routes of heavy-duty trucks to see where they might be rerouted. And so all in all, these plans involve working together with lots of jurisdictions like cities, counties, water agencies, pesticide agencies to get these projects done.
That all sounds like it could end up to be pretty expensive.
Yes. All of these things together add up to tens of million dollars of investment. The final number has not been set yet because a lot of this will still be changing. And none of this will just happen automatically. It's like a wish list. The state has provided some money already as part of the AB 617 process, but it has yet to be seen how much more the state will grant and how far that'll go in getting to all these projects.
So then how do community members and business people in these areas, how do they even feel about these plans?
That's an interesting question. Community members themselves, especially those not affiliated with local industry, they tend to not see eye to eye with the Air District in general, neither do environmental justice agencies. But there was actually a lot of agreement when it came to these plans. Yesterday's vote was during a public meeting, and about a dozen people stood up and gave comments related to each plan. And overall, most residents, business interests, and environmental justice advocates said they support these plans. However, there were caveats. The plans won't actually come to a vote before the state Air Resources Board until February. And many of yesterday's speakers said they expect to see more changes to the plans in the next few months, that they want them changed before they go up before the state. So after the meeting, I spoke with Estela Ortega. She's a resident of South Central Fresno, a member of the steering committee. And she said she's really grateful that she got to be a part of this decision-making process. And she supports the plan that came out as a result.
So it's not completely what the community wants, but what she would like to see is more of the funds going towards community.
And by that, she means more regulations on heavy industry, more attention toward rerouting truck traffic out of neighborhoods, and more tree planting. A representative from Dairy Cares also spoke. That's an organization promoting sustainability of dairy farms. He said he supported the plan in general, but wanted to see more incentives related to helping dairies reduce their emissions. The group in the room to support these plans the least appeared to be the nonprofit advocacy group, the Leadership Council for Justice and Accountability. Policy coordinator Ivanka Saunders says the decision-making process improved tremendously in the last year, but
there's still some major gaps that need to be filled in.
By that, she means there's too much reliance on uncertain funding. She wants more regulation on diesel trucks, more funding for plans to reroute truck traffic, and she wants more guarantees from partner agencies that they'll actually collaborate with the Air District on these projects.
Those are the gaps that still need to be fine-tuned before it's voted on in February by the Air Resource Board.
So it sounds like the work on these plans isn't really necessarily done yet.
Yeah, that's the way it's looking. The steering committee's plan to keep tweaking these plans until they come before the state in February. And Samir Sheikh with the Air District tells me they do plan to start implementing some of these projects as early as possible. Meanwhile, the Air Districts and the state are in the process of selecting next year's communities to be a part of this community air protection process.
And then, of course, the other big news this week was the Trump administration's threats to revoke California's ability to set its own vehicle emission standards. Can you talk briefly about what that means and what locals have to say about it?
Yeah, for almost 50 years, California has had a waiver that's allowed it to adopt tougher standards for the emissions that come out of tailpipes, tougher than the federal EPA. And for a long time, the Trump administration has been threatening to revoke this waiver, and finally yesterday it did, though the change won't go into effect for 60 days, and lawmakers have already promised to sue. Litigation could take years. In the meantime, Samir Sheikh, again director of the Valley Air District, says changing vehicle emissions in California, specifically increasing them, or at least certain components of them, will have a huge effect locally, not just on public health, but also on economics, the penalties we pay, and the agencies that have assumed certain emissions when making their own emissions plans.
So for a long time, we've been working with CARB and the federal government to continue reducing mobile source emissions as really a necessary component of bringing the Valley into attainment of these very tough federal standards and achieving the clean air and public health goals that we've been pursuing as an agency.
Environmental justice groups also warn the dangers that this could do for public health, as well as climate change, if more greenhouse gases and other emissions are allowed to come out of tailpipes.
All right. Thanks so much, Carrie.
Thank you.